Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Wellness and Beyond.
Hi, everybody. So nice to be back.
So today we have a very special guest with us, David Gibson.
And David Gibson, thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on the show. And we just want to mention a little about him. He's the director of Globe Sound Healing Institute in San Francisco and online as well, offering state-approved certificate programs in sound healing and therapy. David is the author of the book, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. He is also a top-selling producer of sound healing music. His music is in many hospitals around the country, including Boston General and UC Medical Center. He also runs the Sound Healing Therapy Center at the Institute, offering 15 types of sound healing treatments. David is the founder of the Sound Healing Research Foundation, designed to help bring sound healing into the mainstream. He has also set up the Medical Sound Association to figure out how to cure every disease in the world. And he has created over 2,500 exercises for the same.
Welcome, David. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So how about let's get started with a very basic question for many of us, because I think sound and healing in the field of healing and alternate field is not very well known compared to some other therapies and modalities out there. So could you touch upon the basic question of how sound and healing fit together?
Yeah, it's really all about the difference between chaotic vibrations and stable, consistent vibrations. And the problems, physically, mentally, emotionally, are when you start getting a little chaos. And that includes fear, which is like, or anxiety, or anger, or just stress. It's all chaotic vibrations. So we're overcoming them with stable, consistent vibrations, which include the vowels,
I'm already feeling good.
Yeah, anything that does a drone, which would be vowels, crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, tuning forks, they definition of peace is a frequency humming consistently.
Okay.
So by creating peace in the system, physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually, and that's the basis of it all. So any instrument, not only instruments that do drones, but also stable, consistent rhythms.
All right.
But it gets really detailed from there. We're now looking at measuring the frequency content of all 70 trillion cells in the body. And when you find the frequency of a cell or an organ, and you play that frequency to it, it heals it.
Right.
It gets it back to its own natural resonant state of harmony and health.
So does that mean that one really doesn't need to really work on the emotional level, because since we are working with vibrations, it automatically resolves itself? How does it?
Oh, no, that's a great question, because the truth is most medical intuitives and people that work with healing say that 70 to 90 to 100% of all disease comes from emotions, right? So yeah, no, we're just talking about here to actually get a stable, consistent vibration in the physically, but it's still the same emotionally. All those emotions that I just did that were chaotic, those vibrations will kill you if you run them over time. I mean, they're really not good for you, and they can cause physical disease. So you can think of the opposite emotions of the stable, consistent ones are gratitude, compassion, love, especially universal love, and then the best of all is source. I mean, source is the most stable, consistent, peaceful vibration in the universe, and it's intelligent and knows what frequencies you need. So you've got to work really, what we're looking at is working at all four levels, physically, so we can find the frequency of every part of the body and every cell and resonated into health. But it actually gets a little more complex. So what I learned or discovered not too long ago is a basic spiritual tradition that the whole universe, including the body, is music. So music is made up of frequencies. It's made up of a timbre, which is simply a sound that's got a bunch of frequencies in it. Mm-hmm. It's made up of musical interval relationships between two things, and it's made up of musical flow, which is rhythm and melody mostly. So when you look at the body, you can look at the cells as actual frequency.
Yep.
And you find their frequency, you make it healthy. But an organ is a bunch of frequencies. So that's a timbre. It's a combination of frequencies. And the relationship of the cells and the relationship of the organs are musical interval relationships. But musical flow through the body is the whole deal. Smooth flow without blockages is the definition of health, physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually.
Right.
So you can think of it this way. If you measure an acupuncture point in the meridian, well, when energy flows through a meridian, it's playing a melody, a very specific melodic progression, in fact. Da, 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 right? So there's a song playing through the meridian at a very specific rhythm or tempo based on your metabolism, where you're at peace. So what we're looking at now is, well, let me say it this way. If you don't have smooth flow through your nervous system, you're going to be shaky. If you don't have smooth flow through your circulatory system, you could have a heart attack. If you don't have smooth flow through the digestive system, all types of problems happen. So it's really about flow. And you could do that musically. Mm-hmm. Or the opposite would be, oh, what am I going to do today? Oh, God, I don't know what to do.
Right.
I can't believe what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Or the worst is like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Right. So you could do music to create flow, which includes frequencies and sounds and intervals, right? You could do music, or you could do gratitude, the flow of gratitude or compassion. So, and then again, love's not bad, but source is the best, right? Yes. I mean, when you're in the flow of source, it's so peaceful. So we're really, the whole trick is to look at it at all levels. Most people in the field of sound healing are looking at frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's only one of four levels. So you really need to look at all levels and work at all levels, not only the frequency of an instrument or the frequency of a tuning fork, but also its sound and its musical interval relationships if you're using more than one, and the way you create flow with the sounds changing over time.
So you also introduce sacred geometry and some other components along with it. That's what you mean to say, like holistically. Not just vibration.
Yes, absolutely. Because we're talking about vibration, not just sound, but vibration at all levels of reality. So mm-hmm. we're talking sound, electromagnetics, light, infrared light as well, ultrasound, and scalar waves. And a lot of people are only looking at the frequency. I mean, there's all these really cool devices out there, but they aren't even using combinations of frequencies. You can think of it this way. If we're going to work on the heart, well, we can measure. I was a physics major at UC Berkeley. There's a mathematical formula, very specific, mostly based on square root relationship of a material. And it's based on the size, thickness, and density. And we can measure the heart and get its exact frequency based on that formula. But there's the frequency of the materials of the heart. There's the frequency of the liquids in the heart, fluids. There's the frequency of at the cellular level. There's a frequency at the atomic level. There's the frequency at the light level of photons. There's the frequency electromagnetically even. There's even the frequency of love at the quantum level. So we're not just looking at the frequency of the heart. We're looking at all its frequencies, which are a whole timbre. And then we can really resonate into it into health. But if we're going to look at the heart, what about the flow systems through the entire circulatory system that the heart's working within? What about the flow systems of love tied into the whole universe, a flow of love in the whole universe? So it's really, you can't just look at it separated out as a frequency. There's whole flow systems it's a part of. And really, the flow systems are the deal. And nature has it down.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at a river, right? I mean, when a river hits a rock, it doesn't go, shit, this sucks, right? No, it goes smoothly around it, perfectly, beautifully.
Right. Yeah. So when you say everything has its own frequency, are we meaning to say that it's always good to take the entire frequency of the body into account rather than just an organ or some specific area or a component?
Well, you can work at each level. You can work at, you know, we'll find the frequency of the cells that make up an organ, and we can resonate into health. So that can be good. We could even look at the flow within a cell.
Okay. Right. How do you do that?
Like flow?
Well, there's electron microscopes and light microscopes that will measure the entire frequency content of a cell scientifically now.
Okay.
Lovely.
And once you know all the notes of the different parts, all you have to do is figure out the rhythm, which is not too hard because it's normally based on the metabolism of a person. And different people's metabolism is faster or slower.
Yeah.
You do an assessment called brainwave assessment where we find your metabolism and then we give you music tuned to your brain when you're at peace. And so you can extrapolate that metabolism of you down to the cellular level. A person that's got a really fast metabolism is generally going to be thinner. Someone that's got a slower metabolism is going to be a little more heavy. Not always, right? But it kind of defines the type of body you have. It's kind of the basis of Ayurveda, in fact, as
yeah.
well. So we can look at the actual frequency, but the more you zoom out and look at all levels, and doctors don't have this down.
Yeah.
I mean, doctors are specialists in certain areas. I mean, doctors are not thinking, oh, if you got heart disease, how much love do you have in your life?
Yeah.
I mean, I bet 80% of all heart disease is because of lack of love. Why aren't we giving people meditations on love if they've got heart disease?
So does that mean that, let's say, for example, a person who has heart disease, what an approach of just being grateful, introducing gratitude and doing more visualizations and love and maybe introducing frequencies which are more in relation to that of love is actually going to help that person to recover?
I think so. I mean, what caused the heart disease in the first place? You know, it's probably, I mean, who knows for sure, but I would bet it's mostly love. So absolutely what you just said, get them and teach them especially how to access universal love.
So how
this is very timely, actually, because we are dealing with something at the moment. So,
yeah.
It's so timely. It's so divinely timed.
Did you say how to access universal love? Okay, cool. So it's interesting. Universal love, we have a whole class on it, but it's hard to explain to people that have never accessed it.
Right.
So the trick is there's a few ways. One is to get your brain in the rhythm that it would normally be when you're in universal love. And we can also, where we're headed, and this is really cool, is to do EEG maps of the brain on people that can access universal love. And then we can see the relationship of all the frequencies of the lobes and see what actually different lobes are doing and use AI to get it averaged out, right? Yes. And then we can take that relationship map of the lobes and apply it to your note, to your metabolism, tune it to you, and get you to the threshold of universal love. You know, there's a few ways to do it. One is to really just start learning about it, what it is. It's like we've actually experienced it all of us. I mean, before we're born, we're in universal love. And probably most babies are still hanging out there for quite a while until they get inducted into society around one, right? So it's not like this thing that we've never experienced, but it's like an opening So one way to do it is to set your intention to actually for it to happen. And then there's meditations on YouTube. There's meditations in the classes we do to actually bring you there. Another way is to be with people in universal love, people that are good or know how to access it at will. I mean, it's like satsang, right? We go and sit with people that are, you know, that are heart open.
So is it simply people who are at a higher vibrational state, emotion-wise, feeling?
It's not really higher. I don't see it. But emotions aren't, in fact, this is a misnomer. Commonly, people talk about higher vibration. Mm-hmm. Physically, you don't want a higher vibration. You want the cells to be at the frequency they're meant to vibrate at. If you go higher, they could get sick.
Right.
And emotionally, anxiety is a really high vibration. It's a really high frequency. Right? Oh. Compassion is a really low frequency. Ooh. It's more about stable, consistent.
Hmm.
Also, mentally, when you're in a state of bliss, your brain goes really fast and really slow at the same time. It goes into gamma and epsilon simultaneously. So it's going fast and slow. So it's not high there either. It's both. But the ultimate is oneness. When you're one with the universe in unity consciousness, you're all frequencies. It's not higher or lower. You're all. So there's some people, though, that say that you can go to spiritually, you can go to a higher frequency. Or not necessarily spiritually, psychically, you can go to a higher frequency. And those higher frequencies are different realms that have different beings in them and different entities that can be really helpful. And some people talk about 12 dimensions or 18 dimensions. And I do think of those as higher frequencies, but that's not physically, mentally, or emotionally. That's more spiritually.
So can I ask something? Because I don't know if it's the same thing or not. But there is something, I'm a mind expansion coach. And so that is something wherein a practice, which probably you could say it's more spiritual in nature or more psychic in nature, where let's say there's a client, first help the client to get into a state of love, of freedom and happiness. And we always hold an intention before that. And after that, I start guiding them via visualizations to enter into a state where they can find all the answers. And sometimes they find themselves in a past life, although I don't really mean to do a past life regression. Sometimes they find themselves in a completely timeless state with communicating with some entity. It has happened with a loved one, a future one. So is this state that the person enters into, is this something similar to the oneness or the same state you're talking about, or is that a different state?
Pretty much. I mean, it's there's different levels of oneness. I feel like I'm one with the universe, but rarely have I felt them one with every single person in the universe, where I see that connection. And that's even a little deeper than normal. Now, you can just be blissed out and get downloads. But behind it all is the basis of how we started. It's peace. And the cool thing, what you're doing is it's excellent, excellent. But if you can get sound along with it, and music, especially vibrating on the body, then now you can get the whole body entrained into the peace. But there's, as you know, we can sometimes and often, maybe, get people high like this. But then they go back to their old patterns.
That's right.
And if you know anything about behavioral therapy, changing a person's pattern is like really difficult because the brain has ruts. And when you run a pattern, the brain creates a rut that is really hard to change. The neural pathways get very deep. So the whole trick is to actually start looking at being still enough and present enough through the day to be able to be aware of when the patterns are coming in. Ultimately, the more, you know, people talk about, you know, sound healing. What we really need is people doing sound healing every hour through the day. And it could be like this. You could even do it silently.
So just using our own vocals.
Yeah, vocal, eval, 15 seconds. 15 seconds silently. Now you're, I mean, you heard what I did earlier. I mean, how effective that is. It's so effective. Even silently, it's just as powerful. Any vowel.
Yeah. And also it's very similar to something with Om, that we chant Om in with yoga, since it's a primordial sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also helps with the vagus nerve. So I think it's all on the similar concept.
It's actually even Alice Bailey, who teaches, you know, has had the books back in the 30s. Oh my God, she channeled an ascended master. She goes into detail as to how powerful Om is. Still, it's a stable, consistent vowel. M's are vowels too, you know, by the way. Humming counts as a vowel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's the secret
vowel. Activating your throat and your pineal gland. So your throat chakra and your pineal gland. Yeah.
So, you know, you can think of peace as a stable, consistent vibration, but you can also think of peace as a flow, smooth flow. You can also think of peace as a beautiful chord versus a dissonant chord. So it's all about really about getting to peace, because when you're at peace, and especially when you're at your rhythm and flow, then all organs go into alignment. Your immune system works better. You're more creative, because we're always more creative when we're at peace. And it's a portal to other dimensions where you're one with the universe, where anything could happen.
Absolutely. I have one question. Now, for someone who is either anxious or depressed or in that kind of a state, and they're like, it's impossible for me to just be in the present moment, or even I'm just too scattered at the moment. How can someone, a person like that, maybe use sound, or what practices can they use to get into that state of just what you're explaining right now?
Well, if they have no money, teach them how to do toning, which is so easy. It takes 5 seconds. Do that vowel as long as you can. Do it, and you may not be able to do it for long, but just do it every 2 or 3 minutes. Keep doing it, and you'll feel more peace there. The main thing, though, because we've got a medical sound association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists that have been meeting bi-monthly for 7 years now, we have detailed treatment plans for all different issues, including anxiety and depression and a full range of issues on our site if you go to medicalsoundassociation.com. The main thing is, first of all, anxiety and depression are completely treated differently. Because anxiety, you want calming, whereas depression, you want activation. With anxiety, a gong could be a nightmare. A gong could hurt somebody and make it worse, because gongs are really activating. Whereas for depression, gongs are wonderful, but if you play a gong right away, they're probably going to throw you out, right? So you got to build up to it. You got to, I mean, depression, the whole thing is slow, meet them where they are, and slowly build up to more and more activation. Not only more and more activating sounds, but higher frequencies, faster rhythms, full range of more energy to bring them into that. And they'll go with you if you go slow enough. If you take 10 minutes to transition, my song for depression is like almost 15 minutes, and everybody goes. It works for anybody that's got depression so far.
So on your site, there are these sounds that are available. All these resources that you're talking about, it's available.
Oh, yeah, my music. Yeah, well, I've got tons, not only a lot of music on my site, but we also have frequency CDs that you don't listen to. You actually play them on the body with headphones, or we've got a little bass strap that is like a little subwoofer. You can put them right on the body. We have a bass vest. We've got sound tables, sound lounge. We have sound dolphins you can hug.
Yeah.
And they vibrate. And so you can play frequencies on the body, or you can do music as well. Yeah, there's the sound lounge with the vibration is really the most effective of all. It's shockingly effective, unless somebody's having panic attacks. If somebody's super fragile, they can't even handle a crystal bowl, much less a sound lounge. But basic anxiety, it's really effective, and depression, because it's really powerful vibration. It gets the energy moving through you. And it's been amazing. We have a guy in Colorado who worked with first responders, and he uses our sound lounges, and he has contracts with 75% of the police and fire stations in Colorado. If they have a crisis, they call Ed. And a crisis is normally about to commit suicide. So Ed takes out the sound lounge in his Black Op ambulance, don't want any stigma, and gets them on the sound lounge. He saved like 300 lives in the last 5 years.
Oh,
and now police and fire stations.
We were just about to ask you some real life case studies, and I think this is so powerful.
Oh my God. It should be in every state, every country. It should be in all the centers, I mean, where people, you know, are not rehab centers, but all the refugee centers. It should be in every refugee center. There's so much trauma there. And it's all about getting it back to stable, consistent vibration of peace.
We'll absolutely put all the placeholder links in the show notes. And I think after the call, we definitely can talk about what we can, how we can probably introduce it in Europe.
Cool. There's one other thing that's really good for getting people into this bliss or oneness state. When you're in oneness, it's actually a brainwave state of theta, mostly. And theta is a rhythm between 3.5 and 7 cycles per second. Now, everybody's theta is a little bit different. So when we find your rhythm, we can actually play that theta rhythm to you and help you get in that state. But what we've learned is when you tune in to multiple things at once, you go into theta, into this same brainwave state, like sparkles on the water, right?
Yeah.
Or even a view.
Right.
Or all the sounds of all the instruments in a mix of music. I remember when I was in high school, I'd get stoned and I would listen to headphones and become the music, right? That's probably why I became a recording engineer. Now I don't have to get stoned at all. I could totally become the music. Right. Or all of the frequencies on a instrument, a sound healing instrument, like a gong. A gong has so many frequencies in it, the left brain, there's no way the left brain can handle it. So you actually go into full brain, into that theta state. And it's really about getting out of the prefrontal cortex where you're focusing on one thing at a time and tuning into multiple things at a time. So you can even do it just by looking at the whole room at once, right? Zooming out and seeing the whole room. Now you're going into theta. Now the whole brain starts working. And that's where the brain is when you're one with the universe.
Right. Yeah, right.
And it's extremely peaceful. It's really still. So I have this really funny thing. It's like if I have a problem, well, what you can do is think of all your problems. Now you're tuning into multiple things at once. But don't forget the list of gratitude. If you haven't done your gratitude list, oh my God, you got to have a gratitude list. I mean, there's like easy to come up with 20 or 30 things. I mean, it's really easy. I've got a whole video that lists a whole bunch of them, the sound of gratitude. So now in front of you, you've got all your problems and all your gratitude, and you look at all of them at once and you're in theta, totally at peace going, or look at all the problems on the planet, all of them. And all the beauty of nature and all the incredible amount of caring every individual does every day for somebody else. The amount of love on this planet, all of it, all the problems, all the good and bad, all at once and go.
So that means when you reach the theta state, it's like you are almost connecting with your higher self.
Yes.
And you are away from your ego self and you are just pure consciousness and experiencing everything at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. Source, spirit, higher self. I was just got really interested in the difference between your higher self and the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so I even asked ChatGPT about it. Because I think of your home note of your metabolism as your soul note.
Yeah.
So I figure your soul note, everything's a frequency, so your soul's got to be a frequency. Your soul note would be where you're at peace in your body, unless God's messing with us, right? So your soul is that point of awareness that knows all lifetimes and knows your purpose, but it's also connected to source, which is really the higher self. Because when you go into the spirit and source, you're all answers in the universe are there. And then you are not only that, there's often other beings that are giving you ideas as well. Holy moly. Every morning when I wake up, I just stay in bed and meditate with my kitty for about an hour. And I get downloads like crazy, right? Because it's in the state of theta. Because it's funny. The second I go into alpha or beta where I'm really awake and thinking, my kitty splits. And you're not going to get the downloads in those states as often.
Yeah.
It's really more when you're in a stable, consistent state of theta, which is kind of a spaced out state, right? It's kind of like, right? And that's where love happens too. When you're running love, you're in theta. Truth is, it gets way more complex. You're not just in theta. There's a little bit of alpha, a little bit of beta, a little bit of gamma, a little bit of delta. There's a whole map of different frequencies. Theta is the main one.
Yeah.
But there's a whole map of brainwave. So what we're looking at is in training you back into the state you're in when, let me say it this way. So we can do an EEG map on when you're running gratitude. Most people can access gratitude if you do a meditation, right? Almost everybody can. So then we can do electrodes on your brain and get you back into that state of gratitude whenever you want.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's teach you how to run compassion. Okay. Get you back into compassion because we now have the map of your brain frequency wise because EEG is simply rhythms, the rhythms of different lobes. And then we can get you back into a state of love because most people can run love, you know, and then the big threshold is to then be able to get you into universal love.
So when you say
and oneness.
So when you say you measure the brainwave state, and then when you want to get the person back into that state, is just the use of gratitude, or it's also like certain sound waves that you use to get that person into that state?
Measure the rhythm of where you on your brain when you're running gratitude, and then we play those rhythms back to the lobe separately. So we have whatever this lobe is doing, we put an electrode there and play it. That one, this one's got a different frequency. Whatever it was when you were in gratitude. This one over here has got a different. So we use electrodes across the brain to entrain. But also, ultimately, thoughts go across the brain at a specific speed. And if they don't go across the brain smoothly, that's a red flag with EEG. Because EEG shows how fast thoughts are moving across the brain. So we can now use that rhythm and actually go play a song of gratitude, right? Okay, what's your song of gratitude? But this is incredible. If we can get people into gratitude, compassion, love, universal love and oneness, which we can basically now. One of my colleagues has ultrasound frequencies that he can play on microtubules in the brain that will bring you into oneness every time in the lab. And he can show when you're there by the EEG map. Well, if you're in any of these emotions, there's no more anxiety.
Yeah.
There's no more depression. There's no more PTSD. We have a complete remedy for all mental emotional issues right now.
Yeah.
So this is all, sure, it can be customized, as you said, by measuring the person's brainwave states. But also there are some like default sounds that are already there on the website that can more or less help people with such issues.
And also people who are not there, who cannot
because
in person
exactly
to see you.
Yeah. Well, there's default. I mean, you can simply create music or meditations like you do, mm-hmm. you know, but you could create music with the energy of love. My unconditional love CD, I was totally careful of being in unconditional universal love 100% of the time while recording and even mixing the CD, even while doing the graphics.
Wow. That really communicates that when a person is, for example, recording a meditation or creating a video on YouTube, for example, whatever state they are in, they're also communicating that energy to the world.
Right. And the more stable, consistent it is when you're communicating it, the stronger it is. If you're thinking about, you know, pink elephants or takeout food, it's like, you know, it's not as good. It's not as good. But if you're like totally in a trance, in that energy of what you're communicating, people get it way stronger.
It's just like making a recipe, and a recipe that you make for your family with love and compassion. It's very different than what you would make otherwise.
So now the next step, and this is where we're headed now. Oh my God. My guide said about a year ago, they woke me up and they said, Dave, if you can visualize flow through the 11 systems, you could heal every disease. And I'm like, musical flow, medical systems, circulatory, respiratory, you know, nervous system, all the medical systems. And I'm like, okay, well, I can imagine electricity smoothly flowing through my nervous system, which is exactly what you need. Right. So to visualize it and actually run it is really, really cool. But then I thought, okay, I can do my circulatory system. I can imagine blood flowing smooth, but I can't do them two at a time, much less 11. Right. Yeah. So then they said, okay, we need to find the songs of each of the 11 systems. I'm like, okay, well, we can, with that electron microscope, measure the actual notes of the cells within that system. So now we have the notes of the melody. All we need now is the rhythm. The rhythm's going to be directly related to the metabolism of the person in peace. In fact, I would bet it's going to be an octave. Okay. Musical fifth, maybe, but nothing weird. I mean, if you're in peace and your system's going do, 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 you know, your nervous system's not going to be going blah, 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 right? It's going to be totally in time with that. Right. So we can easily figure out the rhythm. So now we have the 11 songs of you, and we can use needles with frequencies, ultrasound frequencies, electromagnetic current pads, infrared light, and scalar waves, and run that river of flow, 7 or 11 rivers through you to heal every disease. And so my guide said, you know, with this concept of musical flow, we can actually apply that and get doctors to start thinking that way and cure every single physical disease.
Only if they did. Yeah.
So we're setting up a lab to start working on this. It'll probably take a few lifetimes.
Let's hope not. Let's hope it's sooner.
But we're getting it started.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of diseases.
Yeah.
So can you just talk a little about scalar waves, since you also mentioned scalar waves? How does it differentiate from like sound waves or other waves?
Ultrasound.
Well, it's just the quantum field, which are emotions, thought forms, and especially intention. There's, you know, some people, I mean, scalar waves, you got to be careful with that term because it's kind of woo-woo, but it is a scientific side to it. But it's basically resonant frequencies and flows in the quantum field. Mm. So when we're adding energy to sound, it's basically quantum. But even at the energy level, we could do the different levels of the vibration. We could do like one frequency of love and hold that. Or we could do love wisdom that has a specific musical interval relationship between the two. Do love and wisdom, more than one thing. Or we could do a flow intention of bringing spirit down the crown, out the heart, from the earth, up the body, out the heart. So we have a flowing energy that we're visualizing while we're actually doing the meditation or healing. And now we got a flowing intention instead of a frequency intention.
Right. So, okay. So it's basically our visualizations of the flow of energy along with our intention that really counts as the whole.
That's huge. It's so huge. Just visualization is huge.
Is it necessary to also feel it, that really happening, or is it just visualization is enough? Because some people really think that it's necessary to kind of feel something, or it's just visualization is enough, and do we need to do it?
Yeah, the more you feel it, it's the better. That's why I love the Sound Lounge, because it's so powerful. It's like you're totally, I mean, it's not like you are wondering if something happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're totally being vibrated. Yeah. The another thing that's really cool that for healing is one of my favorite techniques that I do, regardless of what issue somebody has going on. And that is imagine it completely gone.
Yeah.
Whether it's physical, emotional, or whatever, imagine it completely gone. What would that feel like? Peaceful, flow, bliss, happy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Joe Dispenza did, right? I think when he had his spine completely blown off by the truck. He, when he was on bed and he was still healing, he visualized that he was fine. And from that perspective, he visualized him living his life and those small, small tasks and the little, little things like going out with his friends and taking a shower and being grateful for all those things. So
yeah, another, the body doesn't know any different. When that happens, the body goes into complete immune system party. I mean, it's like everything starts healing at light speed. Because the body is feels like it's healthy again. Oh yeah, it's the best.
Amazing. And also one quick question. You know, nowadays people are speaking about 440 hertz, and there is another 365 or something hertz for music, for listening to music. Does it really make a difference? Like people say, people are more destructive or something.
This is called concert pitch, where you tune a song to a specific frequency, and that's the home note of the song. It's cool, but it's not as big a deal as people think. It's nice to, I've got all my music tuned to 432 instead of 440 now. 440 is not really a bad frequency. There's really no bad frequencies, but 432 has many auspicious things about it. There's also something called a tuning system, which is even more detailed than concert pitch. That is actually more important, where you're actually, it's like the difference between equal tempered and just intonation and Pythagorean, where all of the notes are tuned to nature. Every frequency of the notes, not overall like 432, but the individual notes are tuned to a system of nature. That's even cooler. But there are a million songs on YouTube tuned to 432 that I would never listen to. There's a million, at least a few thousand, right? Or a few hundred, that of song that I've seen God tuned to 440 equal tempered.
Okay.
I've totally seen God. The music, quality of the music, and the energy that people bring through that music is light years more important than 432 or just intonation. It's cool, but the, you know, I mean, if you just hold love with 100% focus, that's way better than 430. If it's 432 also, it's kind of cool. So, but here's one really interesting thing that people never talk about. We have a specific note, a rhythm of our metabolism. And everybody's a little bit faster, a little slower, which means everybody's a little bit different frequency. Well, what if 432 happens to be closer to your frequency? Or let me put it this way. What if 440 happens to be closer to your metabolism frequency than 432?
Yeah.
So I haven't done any research on this, but intuitively, I feel like your frequency is more important than the 432 thing.
Yeah, it's then again, one size fits all, or it's the standard frequency.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. So the good news is love fits all.
Yeah.
Love fits all.
You just answered my question right before I could ask. Love fits all.
You know, there's one thing that's really amazing. Heart math says when you're running love in heart coherence, that your brain goes into a rhythm of one cycle per second, which is one beat every 10 seconds. Which is really like a breath. Well, they've measured scientifically in the atmosphere. There's the Schumann resonance that everybody talks about, but there's also a frequency vibrating in our atmosphere caused by cosmic rays from other galaxies of 0.1 cycle per second. It's like there's some aliens out there sending us love all the time. Also, when you see a coherent set of waves on the ocean, the time between the waves is about 0.1 cycle per second. Even the ocean's in training us into love.
The universe is always guiding us in so many different ways. That's why we have to follow the rhythm of nature.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really, if you look at nature, it's the same thing as music. You can say, okay, there's atoms, which are frequencies. A bunch of atoms make up a molecule, which is a timbre. All earth, air, fire, and water are all timbres, combinations of frequency. But the relationship of those is the deal, musical interval relationship. In Chinese medicine, that's the whole deal, a balance of earth, air, fire, and water, right? But ultimately, the flow system, the way the ecosystems interact flowing with each other, that's the deal. If there's a blockage like pollution,
energy,
or even psychic energy, some people say that screws up the weather, then there's no more flow. Nature has it down musically. So here's where we're headed. So we got a $100,000 grant to take our entire curriculum into two Montessori schools, and we've now created 2,500 exercises for the kids from 3 months all the way up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. And we're now getting a massive grant to create 30 schools in 30 countries as a private school and track it for 3 years and go to the governments and say, look how effective this is. So what we're doing through the whole curriculum, which includes all subject matters for kids from utero to 18 years, is we're focused on music as the basis of it all. Music as health emotionally and physically and mentally, even spiritually, but also musical flow between two people emotionally, where there's no blockage, right? Communication, where there's understanding is flowing. And then the brain, flow of the brain is focus instead of bouncing around, not scattered or stuck, right? So we can look at what are the frequencies of all the elements. You know, then we bring them into quantum physics and we talk about frequency there. Even, you know, we can change the whole perspective of history and look at, you know, the people that have done really amazing things around. Just use that as a thread through the whole thing. And so now we're teaching math of starting with the Fibonacci curve and golden mean, which is throughout nature. Right? As opposed to the math I learned at school, which I still don't know why I learned it.
Actually.
Right? Right? And so they learn about flow systems when they're 3 years old. Let's look at this river, how smoothly it's flowing. And they learn about flow systems at all levels of vibration until they're 18. And then they can take and create a business based on flow, where all parts in the business are communicating with all other levels. So there's complete flow, which is basis of a sustainable business.
Wow. Right? Yeah. So all this you're talking about, is it already complete or is it still in works?
Well, we've got 2,500 exercises on basically vibration all the way up to quantum physics, music as a way of understanding the universe, emotional expression, and sacred geometry. So we've got the sound and vibration part basically done. But we want to now create a think tank with people from Orff and Waldorf and Montessori, all the top, you know, types of schools, and add in all the other types of curriculum, you know, from history to chemistry, everything that goes into schools. So it becomes a full on school. And here's the other thing. This just makes me crazy when I really think about it. It's really bizarre. 25% of all kids are labeled complete failures when they don't pass the test.
I was one.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. That leads to drugs or crime or therapy the rest of your life, right? These kids, everybody has their gift. How come we aren't creating universities for those gifts? I mean, this is crazy. The competition system is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And it's so demeaning.
This is something so common. Even when I was in university, I was also doing 3D animation, which I was very passionate about. And so I was not too present with what was happening. I was a little late with my projects and stuff. And at the end, the teacher just said, you're always going to be a failure in life. You will be good for nothing.
Oh, my God.
Nothing in life.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Totally.
Go find that teacher and kick him in the knee.
Yeah.
Right? It's unbelievable. What they should be saying is, you've got an incredible creative talent.
Exactly.
Right? And maybe we'll use AI to find it. We'll try, you know, we'll do in fact, I already know a school that does this. They actually do an assessment and then they use AI to come up with 20 or 30 projects that person might like. And it worked really well. So now you're tuning it to that person's gifts. And you say, you know, Also, there's another part I'm kind of a little passionate about this. There's another part, and that is it's really about being able to see the forest and the trees at the same time, which is really what we're talking about before, of tuning into multiple things at once and being able to zoom in to the tree and then back out to the forest. Most people, most adults can't do that. Most adults are in a tunnel of perspective. And it's really getting to where you can tune into multiple things at once with sound and all these different techniques. But we can do multi-sensory integration. For example, we do body percussion with the kids and we get very detailed, right? And then we show a circle with like 16 dots on it. And we go, okay, we'll just say 8. We do different circles. We'll say, you can do 8 spots on your body. So we're doing 8 in different divisions as well. We can even drop out notes and do 8 that way, right? And then after detailed body percussion, different parts of the body, different vowels, different consonants, different rhythms, different melodies, in fact, we go, look, if you take a circle with 8 dots and one with 10 dots and connect those dots, you get every sacred geometry in the universe.
Wow, interesting.
We got one of the top sacred geometry instructors there is. And not only that, here's the meaning of all those sacred geometries through history and how they affect your consciousness. And then the kids are like, whoa, right? Where they've been tapping their on their body, those rhythms of that sacred geometry for years.
This is to the next level, something that has never been taught. I don't think so.
And babies, you know, they say babies are actually, they've got so many neurons in their brain flashing that they're actually geniuses. In fact, they say until a baby's about 9 months, it's best to play really complex music, not nursery rhymes, because their brain is, and then the trimming starts happening where they actually just get rid of more than half of the neurons. So the trick is to keep all of those neurons going with a full range of frequencies, a full range of music, a full range of sounds, so that we open up all the frequency there are, we keep them going so that their brain doesn't trim back.
So those kind of sounds and music that you're talking about is more like sounds of nature or like classical music, like Beethoven and Mozart. Are you talking about those kind of things?
Yeah, complexity is all we're saying. It's anything with complexity. And nature is mostly white noise, other than animals. Nature is almost all white noise. It's oceans, rivers, streams, wind, it's all white noise. And that is really good for breaking up stuck energy, repeating thoughts. It gets you back to you. Nature is designed to clear out all thoughts. That's why people use white noise to go to sleep. Clear out your thoughts, right? And so then there's all the animals, and there's a full range of animals. Oh my God, we have a whole class on the sound of nature. There's actually a very small percentage of animals that sing. Most of them kind of do tweet, 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 or roar, right? They don't do songs, but some do songs, right? And oh my God, you know what they're doing is affecting us at a really deep level that we don't even know about. We know that the bird songs create metabolism in plants. They have frequencies that they play of bird songs into crops, and they grow 4 times as much with way more vitamins and minerals and way less water as well. So, you know, it's all this matrix that is so tied together. But even in nature, you got very complex sounds and you got very simple sounds. Right. So it's really teaching the kids from the beginning, which they already have down as babies, how to do the whole multiple things at once, where you can sometimes access higher beings and source, and to zoom in to one thing and back. You know, you can think of it this way. It's the basis of like an overview or a synopsis of a book or summary of a page, right? That's so important, to be able to summarize things and be able to see multiple perspectives on one reality. Because we are so stuck in one pattern of our perspective so often. It's it's the way of mass consciousness.
We're assuming things many a times, or we're just stuck in the box with whatever limited information we have. We're just playing around with it.
And right, what was your defining moment that you felt like with sound healing, it's so powerful and it's changed your life radically?
Well, there's a couple. One was really interesting. You know, I used to have panic attacks, and I learned to do a meditation on chakras where I would tune into the root chakra and listen for its sound, not worrying about whatever note or frequency it is, whatever I come up with. And there it is. Okay. Ooh. And I just feel it. I don't even have to make it out loud. Just feel it vibrate. Okay. Second chakra. Find the third. Just get them vibrating consistently all the way up to the crown. And it got rid of the panic attack completely. Not only got rid of it, I was then blissed out. And I've taught this to hundreds of people, and it's worked for every single person with panic attacks. Even I had this 9-year-old kid last year. It's just, and you don't do it out loud. You just imagine it. And that really changed everything, because all of a sudden I became aware of when my chakras were humming or not.
Yeah.
And when they were whacked out, right? It's like, oh God, I'm a little upset. Now my third chakra has got a little buzz in it, right? So, and that's where most disease start, is a buzz in one of the chakras or endocrine glands. Right? Yeah. The other thing that happened was I was in the king's chamber, and it's well known that if you find the resonant frequency of a chamber, it opens up a portal to higher consciousness. And the way you find it is a frequency sweep. So you go, when it gets louder, that's it. So I found the three frequencies of the king's chamber, left and right, front and back, and ceiling to floor, which is a beautiful chord of C, C, and B, by the way. And actually, it's a binaural B. It's kind of a dissonant chord, but it will take you into higher consciousness. But then I leaned over into the sarcophagus and did a frequency sweep. And when I hit the frequency of the sarcophagus, it was like, everybody in the room's like, whoa. So I hop in the sarcophagus and I'm toning its frequency. And I immediately go out of my body into the Akashic records below the pyramid. And there's a guy there guarding a door. I'm like, can I come in? He goes, no, your consciousness is not high enough. And I'm like, shit, that sucks. And a half hour later, the tourist cleared out. So I get back in the sarcophagus, I'm toning its frequency, and I go back down into the Akashic records, and I say, can I come in? And he goes, okay. And he opens the door, and energy, which was more like information, came streaming up my spine, and it changed everything. All of a sudden, I could do sound light years better, and everything transformed. It was a major transformation. I have to tell you one more thing, too, that just happened last year. One of my students just went there, and she knew about this technique, and she toned its frequency. This student had chronic fatigue horribly for the last 10 years. She said when she did it, her whole body and whole system completely disintegrated into light. And then it was pieced back together, toning that frequency. And now her chronic fatigue is completely gone after 10 years.
You just can't explain these stuff. You just can't make it.
Right. We know nothing around here, really. Yeah. The truth is, you know, they haven't even given us a manual. And if they did, it was like, it's unbelievable how little we know how the universe works. Right. But we're making headway.
Yeah, totally.
So I have one question. When you mentioned listening to the sounds of the chakras, is it more of, how do you do that? Do you need to focus or concentrate in silence? Or is it something you, in your minds?
Well, yeah, you find a frequency that feels right in your head. Just play with it. What's really important is not the frequency. The important thing is that it's humming consistently, because you're overcoming with, so any vowel, which is naturally what we would do, right? So you imagine any vowel humming there. And now you get that stable consistency for each one, the peace of each one. You could just send, I just did this yesterday with my friend. It was really cool. You could send love to each chakra and just imbue it with love all the way up to the crown. That's really cool, because that's, you're getting it to its stable, consistent vibration. And then the whole deal is, once you get each one going, tune into all at the same time. And that's the portal on the way to oneness. Multiple things at once, theta, right? And then it was so cool. I was doing it with my friend yesterday on the phone, and she's like, oh my God, because we did love for each chakra. And she's like, I can feel love flowing through my whole system in waves now. And we did that for 15 minutes on the phone.
That is amazing.
It's incredible.
And one last question for the day is someone who is really fascinated by today's talk and they're really new to the whole thing of sound healing and your work. How should they get started better understanding and navigating this field?
Well, I do have my book, the main book in the field, Complete Guide to Sound Healing. And I've got like tons of information on our site, which is soundhealingcenter.com. We also do have online classes. We've got 3 certificate programs. We've got a basic one, more advanced one. And then we've got a whole recording program, because that's how I got started, is in recording. And I wrote the main books in recording as well. So those are good places to start. We've got tons of stuff in our store. And my God, you can spend weeks in our site. We've got 14 different websites total. So you'll never be bored.
Great. So I'm going to just mention that one website along with the project you're doing for kids and youths. And whatever links you'd like to share, you can just provide it to us so we can paste it in the show notes. And with that, thank you so much, David, for being with us on the show.
It was so fascinating
to learn everything that you're doing and so many new things that have been being learned today. And
inspiring, motivating others to explore this field. It's so new, but I think it should be normalized now.
Right. And we would definitely love to have you again sometime.
To discuss and go more deeper with these topics, because I think 1 hour isn't doing any justice.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, it's been a pleasure. Let's do one thing. Let's send love to the whole planet and everybody on it with a sound.
Absolutely. Yes please.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that.